Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenna Lee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this.
On hearing the voice of God, and last week, Stephen touched on a number of things, and one thing that he mentioned I wanted to kind of unpack a little bit more and dig a little bit deeper into, but I wanted to start with a story, because we all love story time, and now this story is not about Stephen, this is about Levi. Actually, no, Stephen's in the story too, and I'm not throwing him under the bus with the story, okay? And this happens to any parent. Like, I mean, it was kind of traumatizing, but this can happen to any parent. So when Levi, by the way, is doing amazing on the drums, I'm so proud of you, buddy. He's doing so good. When Levi was like around 2 years old, and we were pastoring, youth pastoring and associate pastoring at our first church in Port Neches. It was Freedom Christian Fellowship, and so just so you can kind of see the layout, like we are in this building where we would have our fellowship, and in the building there's, you know, the fellowship hall, we'd eat dinner, there's a long hallway, classrooms, and the kids would run up and down the hallway like crazy people, take their shoes off and run like crazy, right? And so Stephen was in one of the classrooms having a meeting, and the sanctuary was across the street in another building. And so it was time for me to go practice with the worship team about an hour before service. And Levi was 2, Judah was probably 4, and Benjamin was in the carrier. And so I had Benjamin on my arm. And so I popped my head into the room where Stephen was. The door was open so he could see all the kids running like this. And he was having a little meeting. And I said, "Hey, babe, I'm going across the street to practice with the team now, but you've got Judah and Levi, okay?" And he was like, "Got it, I can see him, we're good." And so I grab Benjamin and I go down the side exit to leave the building, and little Levi comes running after me. He can barely talk, he's still pretty little. And he goes, "Mommy, I come. And I said, "Well, okay, come on." And then he stops and he goes, "No, I stay." And I was like, "Okay, go see Dad." And so I close the door and he goes and runs off. Well, about an hour later, I'm on the stage practicing the piano, and I see Stephen come in the back of the building, and he has this frantic look on his face. And I'm like, something's not okay. You know, this man is not frantic very often. And so he comes running up to the stage, and he was like, "Do you have Levi?" And I said, "No, you had Levi." And he was like, "We can't find Levi." And I was like, in my heart, I was like, this is not a normal child is missing situation. This felt different. And so I jumped off the stage and I ran across to the other building. And as I'm running, now I had this like deep peace in my gut, in my spirit, but my heart and my mind are starting to like pick up steam. and as I'm running across to the other building, every single person I pass by goes, "Have you found Levi?" And so every time I passed someone who said, "Have you found Levi?" my heart sank a little deeper. And I was like, oh gosh, he's really missing. Now, mind you, oh, bad timing. I read the book, The Shack, like 2 weeks before that. If you've read the book, you know it's about a kid going missing and they end up murdered. It's horrible. So I'm like, that is running in the back of my mind. I'm like, stop it. And so I'm running across the building. And I go to head into the building to search. I mean, everyone has searched there. I knew in my gut he wasn't in there, but I searched anyways. And then I came out to the end of the building. And by now, my mama bear is roaring, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I need to find my kid. And so I get to the end of the building, get to the sidewalk right there by the street. And I stopped and I just said, "Holy Spirit, you know where my son is. Bring me my son." And then I got quiet so I could listen. And I was like, there's this dual thing happening inside of me. My gut knew it was okay. It was going to be okay, which is why I tuned in to what the Holy Spirit was saying. But up here was raging crazy. And so I said, "Lord, bring me my son." And I stopped and I just listened. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to go across the other street to the post office. And so I start heading over to the post office, and as soon as I get around the corner and I see the post office, I see there's a police car in the parking lot. I'm like, praise God. So I'm like, start booking it to this police car. And as I'm running to the police car, I'm realizing, holy crap, I'm about to ask a police officer to help me find my kid. 24-hour window, my kid's going missing. I'm like falling apart, like going crazy. And so the window is open in the passenger side, and I basically fall into the window, and I'm like, help me. And I look, and there's this woman in the passenger seat holding this little toddler who's asleep on her. And it takes me a minute, and then I see the brown skin, Like, oh. And so I'm like, Levi. And so I start to reach through the window to grab him. And she's like, hold on, back up. And she's like all testy with me. And so she starts to get out of the car. And she sees my mama bear is about to rip my child out of her arms. You know, like, don't tell me, hold on. That's my kid you got, you know. And so I'm like, so when she sees the panic, she turns him over. And so I'm like sobbing and I'm hysterical. And I'm so grateful I found him. And then I'm like, what happened? And so she told me, the officer that was with her, was her husband. And he said, well, I was getting off of work about 45 minutes ago, and I was driving down the road, and I saw this little boy outside the post office. And so he was barefooted, so I pulled over, and I picked him up, and he goes, I was trying to figure out where he came from, but I realized, well, you wear shoes when you go to church, so he's probably not from church. And then he was like, you know, and he's a little darker skinned and he wasn't talking to me. So I thought maybe he spoke Spanish only. And so he puts Levi in his car thinking he's this little Mexican kid and drives him around the neighborhood where all the Hispanic families live, asking all these Mexican mamas if it's their kid. I'm like, we need a better system here, people. And so anyways, thankfully, Levi did not speak up and claim any of those mothers. And so he was able to come home to me. But one, a side note that made me so grateful for the Lord's faithfulness was I realized like 3 weeks before that, I had been on a walk praying, and the Lord prompted me, or I just had the idea, to pray for Levi's safety. And he was a wanderer, an explorer. And so I said, Lord, if Levi ever gets out of my care, I need you to put him immediately in the hands of someone with good intentions towards him who will restore him to me quickly. And that's what I prayed. And that's exactly what happened. It was a police officer that found him. But the point I want to make from this story is that I actually had a resounding peace in my spirit, but chaos in my emotions and my mind. And so something that Stephen had mentioned last week, which is kind of what got this on my radar, was where he was saying, you know, there's a belief that when God speaks to you, it will always produce peace. But that's not true, was what he said. And he's right. But there's more to that. So when God does deal in peace, right? The Bible says that peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not be troubled, nor do not be afraid, right? God deals in peace. And Stephen was not saying that peace is not part of the equation. He was saying that just because God speaks something to you doesn't mean you might not have some wrestling happening, right? And so what we're going to talk about this morning is how can you have peace in your spirit and yet still have some of that wrestling going on? And that's because you have a soul and you have a spirit. And so we're going to dive into that in just a moment. But let's pray first and let's get into this good stuff. Father, we just thank you for this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for angels you put around us and for bringing Levi back to me. And Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the one who designed us so beautifully and intricately, and you designed us to have fellowship with you. You designed us to hear your voice, and it is meant to be a regular, beautiful part of our relationship with you. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that where anybody is in this room, if any of them have been in a place where they don't believe they can hear from you, or they don't know if you'll speak to them, or they're just not sure how to position to hear your voice, Holy Spirit, I ask that this morning that we would kick open a door for people, that your word would come and penetrate any lies that the enemy may have tried to root in people's hearts, any beliefs that they don't hear God or that you won't speak to them. We just bind up those lies in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, your word is going to penetrate and bring revelation this morning. And so we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in order to hear God's voice accurately, it is important that we develop a discernment between soul and spirit, okay? Jesus says in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid in your emotions, right? So you can have a spiritual encounter with the Lord and still have a different emotional experience at the same time. So first things first, before we dive into the soul and spirit, I want to lay a foundation in case this is new-ish for any of you, or you're just not sure where you fall on the whole God speaks to me thing. I want to show you in scripture where this is important. But first, another little story, this time Benjamin, who's not here this morning. But when we were college pastors, I remember there was one week where probably three different people within about 24 hours time came to me and said, "Jenalee, how do I hear God's voice? How do I hear God's voice? How do I hear God's voice?" And so by the time the third person asked me, it kind of hit me, and I was like, okay, Lord, maybe I should be telling them something different than I'm telling them. And so I went, and I was changing Benjamin's diaper, and I just asked the Holy Spirit. I said, "Holy Spirit, what should I be telling these people? Am I missing it somehow?" And it surprised me. He said, "Jenalee," he said, "first, my people need to know that I will speak to them. I will speak to them. It's not meant to be a happy accident when you hear from the Lord. It is meant to be a daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit where he is speaking to you." A lot of people, for some reason, will think that God doesn't speak to them. Or I've heard the phrase, "Well, when I'm in a hard season, it seems like God's just quiet." And I just want to encourage you with this. God is a father. Now, if I stopped speaking to my children all of a sudden, like there's many ways to speak to my kids, right? Many ways you speak to your kids. If I suddenly just stopped speaking to my kids, I didn't tell them how to take care of themselves, I didn't tell them they had homework coming up, I didn't tell them anything, and just didn't speak to them for months, that would be negligent parenting, right? Like abusive parenting. That's not what a caring, loving parent does. God is a caring and loving parent. He doesn't just turn off his communication towards us. The Bible says that his thoughts towards us are abundant, right? And so this is one of the primary reasons that he actually left us the Holy Spirit. That way we would have a way to be in regular fellowship. In the Old Testament, you know, a lot of times, and sometimes they would hear from the Lord directly, but it seemed that in the Old Testament, they needed encounters where God would come down in fire, or there was a burning bush, or there was these moments where an angel would show up and speak to them. God delivered messages in that way, but now he lives inside of us, and so it is meant to be a regular part of your daily life. John 14, 26 and 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Both of those require communication, teaching and reminding. That's the Holy Spirit's job. John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jeremiah 33, 3, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you do not know." I love that one. Isaiah 30, 21, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' and whether you turn to the right or to the left." In other words, God's going to counsel us as we're going about life. Psalms 85, 8, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly." In other words, he will guide us, but it's our decision whether we follow, right? Romans 8, 14, I love this one, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." If you're a son of God, it should be a marker in your life that you are led by his Spirit. And that happens on a daily basis, right? So now that we know that God will speak to us, and we just hit that really quickly, the first practical step in hearing his voice is to learn to discern between the soul and the spirit, or the soul and the spirit. A lot of people have like, "How do I know if it's me or if it's God?" And I'm not going to lie. No matter how long you've walked with the Lord, you will still have those moments where you're like, "Is this you, Lord, or is this me?" Right? I mean, those of us who are seasoned, we know, like, you're still going to have questions about if it's the Lord or if it's you sometimes. But let me give you the picture of this. You are a three-part being, right? You're made in God's image. And so you are a body. Wait, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body, right? So this is the three parts of you. Now, your spirit is the part of you that is eternal. That's the part of you that gets saved, when you give your life to the Lord, and it's made immediately perfect before the Lord. That's your spirit. And that's the part of you that God breathes life into you. It's the eternal part of you. And so your spirit, you've heard the word, I am justified in Christ, right? Justified, the phrase, just as if I'd never sinned is what justified means. You're made perfect before the Lord. And so your spirit is the part of you that's justified. It's made completely right, ready for heaven, ready for eternity. Your soul, however, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so that's the part of you that makes you unique. That's the part of you that makes you an introvert or an extrovert. That's the part of you that makes you love playing the drums or love spreadsheets. Taryn, I will never understand that. she loves spreadsheets. And so that's the part of you that makes you unique. And that's the part of you that God gave you at birth. It is beautiful. It is good. Your emotions, your mind, and your will are an important part of who you are. Now, and then of course you have a physical body, which is the part of you that relates to the world around you, your five senses, taste, touch, smell, the other ones. thank you. I'd like someone to help me out. And so your five senses. So that's we've heard the phrase, your carnal self. That's the carnal side of you, meaning it's relevant to your five senses. And so I'm going to kind of, what's the word? Not tip a sacred cow here, but I'm going to propose an idea that I feel like I was taught differently in charismatic church. So in charismatic circles, I almost felt like I was raised to believe spirit good, soul bad, godly self, broken, worldly, sinful self, right? And so I grew up with this idea that my soul was the bad broken part of me, but my spirit was the good child, right? The favorite child. But as I grew in the Lord began to show me like, hey, all three parts of you are holy. All three parts of you are in the image of God. All three parts of you, even the Bible says that when you give your life to Christ, he gives you a new heart and a new mind. That's your soul. So he even redeems the soul part of you. And as I've grown in the Lord, I've come to learn you can't even be truly spiritual if you have a really broken soul that you're not tending to and nurturing and healing in alignment with God's word, right? So your soul is the part of you that is sanctified. We've heard that word. Sanctified is the process of becoming like Jesus, becoming like him, the process of me surrendering my will, the process of me learning to think like he thinks, the process of putting my selfishness aside and choosing to love others better, right? That happens in your soul. And then your body is the part of you that's glorified and gets taken into heaven when you die. And so justified, sanctified, and glorified speak to all three parts of you. Now I'm going to propose another idea. The Holy Spirit, this is not theology. I'm not going to preach this like it's a hard theology, but this is just something that makes sense to me, so I'm going to just propose it as an idea. The Holy Spirit would represent the spirit of us, right? It's the three part, the Trinity, right? He represents the spirit. Jesus represents the body. He is the body that came tangibly in body form. Well, the Father potentially represents the soul, the mind. We always pray in if it's the Father's will, right? He's also the one who gave us the gifts that live in our soul, which is your personality and all of those things. And so just proposing that as a little idea to simply redeem the fact that your body, soul, and spirit are all good. They're not all righteous because you are in a sanctification journey, but they're all good. And we should not shame or reject those parts of us because God loves your personality. He loves who you are. He loves the dreams that you have for your life. He loves the fact that you're an introvert and love to study and read books, even if you are on an exotic vacation, you know? He loves that you're an extrovert and you just want to talk to all the people all the time, right? God loves it. And so the three parts of you, though, are very intertwined. And so there is something that I've begun to discover is I love to study the brain and understand like how our minds work and all of this. And the three parts of you are very intertwined. So how many of you, if your body gets really tired, let's say you stayed up way too late, you didn't get enough rest, you're kind of sick. How many of you are really holy when you're tired? I'm not. I'm kind of cranky when I'm hungry and tired, right? So your body and your soul and your spirit, they play off of each other and they work together. Now, to be in proper alignment, where we're walking after God's kingdom, we want to, ideally, live spirit first, where we're led by the Spirit of God, and then that our soul, our mind, will, and emotions come into alignment with that, come into cooperation with that, and that our body follows suit, right? And so are you guys seeing how the three are distinct, but they all really connect? We can't ever totally separate any of them. So hearing God's voice plays a part in all of this, because when you're, I ran this by my friend who's a clinical therapist, and she was like, I think you're onto something here that sounds scientifically valid. And so there's two different concepts, one in neuroscience and one in just psychology, that speak to this idea. That you know how sometimes when you've gone through something really difficult and it feels like God's not talking, like you can't find his presence, it's hard to hear his voice. You're like, where did you go, Lord? Like, I need you now more than ever. Well, there's, I believe, a reason why that happens. And I share this to break off any shame that comes in those moments or any lies that the enemy can try to set up in those moments, because we are very vulnerable when we're broken and we just need to hear from the Lord and it feels like we're not hearing him. And this creates actually a pathway for us to find his voice and find his presence in those places. So, two things. One, there are three parts of your brain that you need for all daily function. And the top part of your brain is the highest form of your wisdom. It's where virtue, it's where creativity, it's where ingenuity, it's the highest version of you lives in that part of your brain. And so that's also the part of your brain that receives like divine messages from your spirit. The second part of your brain is where a lot of us live on a regular basis, which is like daily function. It's make sure the kids are taken care of, make sure you brush your teeth, make sure just all the basic, fundamental, domestic living and functioning tasks. They all live in that second part of your brain. Well, the lower part of your brain is your core survival and keeping your organs functioning, keeping your life alive, right? It's your basic core survival. Now, if you live in an environment or if you're in an environment where you're super stressed out or you feel like you're living in a space of just survival, then if that bottom part of your brain, even if you get triggered into fight or flight mode or anything like that, that bottom part of your brain, when it's active and its priority is to keep you alive, the top two portions of your brain, your daily function and your wisdom and creativity, they shut down, they go dark. Because your body is designed firstly to survive, right? Here's why this matters. If you're in a season where you are just really stressed out, you've gone through some kind of trauma, you're living in an environment that's just constantly pushing you to the edge, whatever it is, you have a lot of stress going on, it's possible that that bottom part of your brain is where you're living most of the time, and you're not designed to live there. We're designed to live in peace, right? We're designed to live in God's peace and his rest. And so those top two parts of your brain, which is what you can access when you're living in peace, is where you're actually also connecting with God's voice and God's spirit. And so, are you guys following me? Is this making sense? And so, if we are living in a place, this is why the word of God, he says, do not be troubled, do not be afraid, just trust me. Because if we actually were to live in trusting him, and in that place of surrender, and that place of walking in his peace, the part of our brain that receives messaging from him actually stays alert. It stays alive. It stays awake. It's functioning. But when we live in stress, it shuts down the part of us that can more easily hear from him. Now, that's not to say God can't go around it. You know, God can always bypass the laws of nature any way that he wants to. But that's why when you're in a really stressful, traumatizing time, sometimes it can be very hard to hear God's voice. And that's your first clue that maybe you need to go into worship, something that will bring your guards down, something that will allow you to access peace and surrender so that your brain can come back online and receive the messages he's probably trying to give you. Now, I have found in seasons like that, the Lord is so kind and gracious, he will find other external ways to speak to me, right? He'll just bring people that'll give you a word. He'll bring a dream. He'll do whatever. And he will find ways to speak to you because he never, ever abandons us. He is with us in those moments, right? And so we must learn to recognize when he is speaking. So the second concept, and this is the neuroscience side, is that, and this is why being in fellowship and in worship is an important part of hearing God's voice. So in your brain, that upper part, when you're in a, have you guys been in a conversation with somebody where you're like on the same track and you're like, you're finishing each other's sentences, you're on the same wavelength and you're totally getting each other? Have you been there before? And it kind of feels like, especially if you're working on a group project or you're brainstorming something and everyone's creativity starts coming alive and all these ideas start coming, right? So what that's called is neural coupling. And what happens when that's happening is that when you get on the same wavelength with somebody, this thing happens in your brain where these gamma waves start moving from the front to the back of your brain. They start moving through your brain, and they start awakening those tissues and those sensors to pick up creative ideas and to get ideas that you wouldn't even have if you were not in that dynamic. And so that's also the part of your brain where you hear from the Holy Spirit, where it picks up spiritual messaging. And so this is why when you get in worship and you have those moments where you're just face to face with the Lord and he's speaking right into your heart, it's easier to hear his voice and get revelation in that place because it's awakening that part of your brain. Same thing with when you're having fellowship with someone. You can be talking to someone and just really on the same wavelength, and they're feeding your spirit because it's awakening that part of your brain. I know, I'm getting nerdy. Stephen's the historian, I'm the scientist between the two of us. Okay, so I don't know if that helps you guys understand. The beauty of understanding that is if you're in a season where it's hard to hear God's voice, the solution is not to begin to believe that God's not talking to you. The solution is realizing, hey, I'm built a certain way. I'm not actually built to live in survival and stress. I'm built for peace. You were built for the Garden of Eden, by the way. So stress doesn't work with the things the way they're supposed to work. So the best solution when you're struggling to hear God's voice, what I have found, is to get into a place of surrender, where I just take all the things that are stressing me out, and I just picture myself like Isaac on the altar. I just put it on the altar, and I'm like, Lord, you can take it, you can leave it. I'm surrendered. I just need you to speak to me. Or I get into worship, where I just can melt my heart and melt my defenses and get in his presence, and then my mind awakens, and I can begin to hear his voice again. You follow? Okay, it's good. All right, so this is why with Levi, when he was little, and I had that experience, I could have, because you have a spirit and you have a soul, and they can be doing two different things at the same time, that's why I could have peace in my gut, peace in my spirit, while my heart and my mind were racing. And it's important, as you're learning to hear God's voice, becoming a prophetic culture, we want to sharpen our ability to divide between our soul and our spirit and to recognize what's me and what's the Holy Spirit, okay? We see actually an example of Jesus in the garden. Jesus experienced this. When he was in the garden, he knew what God's will was. He was supposed to go to the cross. But we saw him struggling through that so much that he was sweating drops of blood, right? And so Jesus has experienced this dynamic, like we do sometimes, where maybe in his gut, I'm going to assume there was peace because he knew what the Father's will was. But even in the midst of the Father's will, he was struggling. He was struggling. And so I want to encourage you that being in the struggle doesn't make you ungodly. Being in the struggle doesn't mean you're outside of God's will. Being in the struggle means you're human. Having emotions means you're human. But then what you do with that is what determines whether you're living a righteous life or an unrighteous life, because Jesus' next words were, but not my will, but yours, right? He came to a place of surrender. And in that place of surrender, he took on the strength and the anointing, the grace to walk through what he was going to walk through. There was a time in college, Stephen talked about how I went to Bible school, the Honor Academy, and I remember I was like 18, I think, when I went, And the reason I went to the Bible school was because there was a woman on a missions trip with me, and I say she was a woman, she was like a college student. And I just remember she confidently heard God's voice. The way that she talked, it wasn't over the top, it wasn't like weird, but it just was like this quiet, beautiful confidence that she knew when God was speaking to her. And I just remember thinking, well, I don't know where she got that, but I'm going to get that, and I'm going to go where she went. And she had gone to that Bible school. I didn't pray about it. I just went. And yes, that is where I met my husband. And but I remember in my quiet times while I was there, so the process of learning how to hear God's voice was a struggle. I remember I'd get in my quiet time, and I would try to be like, okay, what's the magic sauce? What's the formula for finding God's presence? You know, and I would be like, you know, one day maybe I'd read a proverb out loud, and it just really touched my spirit, and I felt connection with the Lord, and I was like, oh, so I tried to do that the next day, and it was dead and flat as a doornail, and I was like, oh, man, how do I do this, you know, and so it was like, there was a journey, but there was one point when the Lord, I struggled with enjoying praying. I didn't like to pray, and everyone that I heard preach about it was like, and I went into travail for hours, and I was like, who wants to do that? It just sounded horrible, you know, and so I was like, Lord, I should probably, to be a good Christian, enjoy praying. So if you could teach me how to enjoy praying, that'd be a blessing. And so I didn't know that's where he's going to teach me how to hear his voice too. And so the Lord spoke to me. And this was my journey. May not be something that you do, but it worked for me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Jenilee, it may not sound like much, but it's going to change your life. Take 20 minutes every night and just spend time in prayer with me. And I was like, okay, I could do 20 minutes. And so I started doing that every night diligently. And sometimes I wouldn't climb in bed till 1 a.m. and I'd remember I hadn't spent my 20 minutes in prayer. So I'd get out of bed and I'd get on my knees. And sure enough, I'd probably fall asleep on the floor, on my feet, on my knees. And so, but I was diligent about getting in his presence. Well, after a couple days of spending time praying, I had ran out of things to pray about because, of course, I didn't have a very extensive prayer life at that point. And so I ran out of things to pray about. So I began to ask the Lord, like, well, I've got 20 minutes on the clock here. What should I be praying about? And so the Lord would bring someone to mind. Like, it's real, real faint. Like, just kind of one of those thoughts that just goes blah, 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 across your mind. Just real, real light, you know, like a cloud. And so I'd be like, well, and maybe it was someone I didn't know very well. So I was like, oh, I don't know what to be praying about. And so I would be like, well, Lord, is there something I should be covering, you know, about this person? And so he'd bring another thought to mind, like bring kind of an impression. And so I began to kind of lean into those things. And then I'd see them the next day and I'd say, hey, I was praying for you last night. I was just praying for like financial increase and some peace in that area. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm dealing with. And so the Lord began to teach me how to hear his voice just in those little moments of prayer. But what I realized he was teaching me is he was teaching me also to discern between my soul and my spirit. Because especially when it's people I didn't know, I couldn't rely on my senses. I couldn't rely on my foreknowledge about them. I had to lean into his spirit. And so I started making mental note, like, what does it feel like when God is speaking to me about these people? Is it loud? Is it soft? Does it show up in my brain? Does it show up in my gut? Does it feel happy, peaceful? So I just started taking mental note of what it felt like when God was speaking to me. And so in that process, the Lord began to teach me how to discern between my soul and my spirit. And so this brings me to one of my first points about how can we learn to discern between our soul and our spirit. And one of the first ones is in Hebrews 14 is, one, by constant use, you must train yourself to develop a sensitivity to hearing his voice. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So there is an element of making space to develop this, if that makes sense. And that might mean 20 minutes. It might mean on your way to work, on your drive to work, you ask the Lord, God, speak to me about somebody at work that you'd like me to encourage. It might mean that you're just, you know, you're listening to the Bible on the way to work, and the Lord speaks a word to you, and you say, Lord, create an opportunity for me to use this to minister to somebody today. Whatever it is, it could look totally different, but there must be an intentionality of training yourself to distinguish good from evil. There's an intentionality behind it. Okay? Secondly, I want to encourage you with is, and how to activate this, is that realize whatever you nourish in your body, soul, spirit will grow, right? Now, again, I had heard one time the illustration of, you know, your soul and your spirit, whatever you feed will grow and whatever you starve will die, right? And according to how I had been taught for so long, we want to starve the soul and we want to feed the spirit. That's not totally healthy. You need to feed your soul to nurture your healthy soul. But there's a difference between your soul and your sinful nature. We want to starve the sinful nature and feed our spiritual nature, our redeemed nature, right? And so feeding your spirit man can be done in a number of ways. And these will not be new to you guys, but it's just a reiteration that these things actually play a part in helping you to discern between when God is speaking to you. First of all is the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces, dividing between soul and spirit. That's the function of the word of God. So if ever you're in a season where you're like, I just don't know, God. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's you. I don't know what to do. Read the word of God. Read the word of God. Read the word of God regardless. Read it on a regular basis, because that's the only way that you get that active living word of God inside of you to discern between soul and spirit. Do you know that word living and active actually means asexual, which means it is capable of producing life all on its own. It's actually alive. And so that's why when I was in high school, I remember hearing a message about tithing, and I got convicted about my boyfriend. And I was like, I need to break up with my boyfriend from church today. I got convicted. He was preaching on tithing. Had nothing to do with relationships. But it's because the word of God is living and active, and it will divide between soul and spirit. It will set things right. So if you're in a season of confusion, or if a situation is confusing to you, you need the word of God to come in to divide between your soul and your spirit. Secondly is prayer. Prayer is how you feed your spirit man. I illustrated that already with how the Lord used that to help me develop my voice, or my hearing of his voice. But prayer is where you get in touch with God's heart. He has given you a new heart and a new mind through his spirit, and that's how you get in touch with his heart, is through regular prayer that is not just quick on the fly on the cuff. Prayer that's intentional. Prayer that holds some space for the Lord to speak to you. And I would say with that, kind of like when I had prayed about Levi, like, Lord, bring me my son, I realized I had to get quiet to listen for a moment, right? When you're in prayer, if it's you doing all the talking, God's not rude. He's a gentleman. He's not going to bust in and interrupt you, sometimes maybe, but typically he won't. And so he wants you to hold space for him. He wants you to wait on him, right? Be still and wait on the Lord. Third way you feed your spirit man to help develop your discernment is through worship. Worship is a big one. We already illustrated that with science and all the things. Worship is really important. And fellowship. Those are two ways that put you in that space of your brain being online and ready to hear from the Lord. And that is not unspiritual to say, oh, this is what my body needs to be in alignment with my spirit. That's not unspiritual. Just like it's not unspiritual when we've been sick before, sometimes the Lord will say, you need to take some vitamins and go to bed. That's not unspiritual. That's God's wisdom, right? Okay. So as you're developing your hearing of God's voice and learning to discern between soul and spirit, I want you to keep these things in mind. These are kind of like guardrails. One, God is not a God of confusion. And so when you're hearing from the Lord, I remember one time we were, I won't say where, we were at a small church, and there was a visiting minister who was prophesying over me. And the first part of his prophetic word was right on the money, right aligned with things that have been spoken over me for years. And then he opened his eyes and he looked around and he saw my kids running in the back. And he goes, those are your kids? And I said, yeah. And then he decides to prophesy further. And he goes, the Lord is going to give you more children. And I remember I was like this and I went, what? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Not trying to be rude. But I had my four kids. I wasn't looking to have any more kids. And he looks at me and he goes, you need to submit your womb. And I was like, okay. And so I'm not going to lie, that word tormented me for 2 years of my life. Tormented me because I thought it made me feel like God wasn't giving me a decision. It felt like God was just going to use me. Like, I'm just going to use you to have kids. You know, it just felt very unkind. And I realized later, after having a conversation with my pastor's wife, she looked at me and she said, "Jenilee, if this is bringing you confusion and torment, that's not how the Lord's voice sounds. You need to break up with that word. If you feel like that's not for you, you have permission to break up with that and leave it. Because if the Lord wants to speak to you, he can speak to you in a way that brings peace." And I was like, yes and amen. And so I broke up with that. And sure enough, the Lord pulled me into a new season. And he was waiting for me to break up with that word that was not from him. That was a soul word, right? Now, the first part of his word seemed spiritually accurate. But the second part seemed like his soul jumped in there to try to make a thing happen, right? He was using his senses to prophesy to me. And it tormented me. So that's why we also, especially when you start ministering to other people, you have to make sure that you've developed some kind of, familiarity with how to discern between your soul and your spirit, so that we're not prophesying out of our souls over people. We don't want to go there. Okay, so God is not a God of chaos or confusion. If there's a word that's been tormenting you in your soul, let it go. God is big enough and kind enough to speak to you in a way that will not torment you. He's a good father. Okay, secondly, when God speaks, it will line up with his word in his heart. That is a very important guardrail, because Jesus is the word of life, right? And so anything that comes from the Father is going to be in alignment with him. With his heart. He's not going to steer you in another crazy weird direction. The third one is, look at the fruit it will produce. Now, you got to use discernment here too, because there have been times that the Lord asked me to go into a venture, especially like business, and there was a couple key people in my life that were not on board with it. But because of who they were and the importance of their voice in my life, it kind of caused me to wrestle. I was like, I don't want to tune out their voices. They're important people. And so, but the Lord kept confirming, nope, I want you in business. Nope, I want you in business. I want you in fashion and business. And so I did what very spiritual people do and said, then I'm going to put out a fleece, Lord. And I said, you know, Gideon can do it. It's good enough for me. And so I put out a fleece and I said, Lord, I don't want to tune out their voice, but I'm not certain that I'm discerning what's you and what's me here. And so I put out a fleece. And the Lord, every time, I probably put out 12 fleeces, honestly. And every single time I put out something, the Lord confirmed, hey, I'm right here. I'm going to tend to these other voices. I'm going to tend to them. And he did. He brought them either in alignment or just pulled them out of my life. And so I was able to continue walking. So when I say look at the fruit, sometimes you're looking at long-term fruit, not immediate fruit. Because, you know, Jesus, the Pharisees around him, they didn't like him. It didn't bring peace in those relationships. You know, it kind of stirred people up. But the fruit was salvation. He brought salvation to mankind. So there will be good fruit when the Lord is speaking to you, but you do have to be discerning about it. Okay, peace in your spirit is another guardrail. And that's where I distinguish what Stephen said last week was not wrong. There can be where God gives you a word and there's a little bit of, going on, but there should be peace in your spirit, even if your emotions are doing something different. Okay? And that's how, even with Levi, even though my mind, I had filled my mind with a story that made me panic over the loss of my child, but in my spirit, I knew it was going to be okay. You guys have probably all been there before, where you go through something difficult, but in your gut, you just like, I know we're going to be okay, right? And so learning to recognize that anchoring peace of the Lord. It's anchoring when he is speaking to you. And bonus tip, as you guys are learning to develop your hearing of God's voice, I feel like Prophet Phil talked about this lightly. A lot of times when people are hesitant or afraid to lean into hearing God's voice or to step out on hearing God's voice is because they're afraid they're going to miss it and be a false prophet. Right? Because in the Old Testament, a false prophet, which none of us are walking around proclaiming ourselves to be prophets, but we still want to be accurate in what we're hearing, right? And so in the Old Testament, a false prophet was deemed a false prophet if his prophecies didn't come to pass, right? And so that's how they recognized them in the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, we're under a new covenant. And in, let's see, where's the passage? Matthew 7, it says that a false prophet is known by his fruit. And that word fruit is the same word for fruit of the Spirit. And so a false prophet is known by the fruit of the Spirit coming out of his life or the lack thereof. So like that's why you can have a psychic who may be accurate, but they're of the wrong spirit, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit is not what's coming out of them. Divination, control, witchcraft is what's coming out of them. And so you have to be in alignment with the right spirit of God. And so the fruit of the Spirit is the marker in your life. That's why you also can't have people getting up in the pulpit being all spiritual, prophesying, but their life is all sorts of not godly. It doesn't work, right? The fruit of the Spirit is a priority in a godly life. And so, but getting it wrong, missing a word doesn't make you a false prophet, because you can miss a word and still be in love and still walk in love. I've missed words before and it's embarrassing and uncomfortable maybe, but if you go about it really gently, like, hey, I felt like maybe the Lord was saying this, rather than thus saith the Lord, you know, just take some pressure off and just be like, hey, is this something I've been praying for you about this, you know? And then if you keep it really light, kind of saves everybody the awkwardness. But it doesn't make you a false prophet if you just miss it. You're learning. You're learning how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay, so we want some action steps for this week to begin to develop this. Here's three little suggestions for you guys. If you go into this week and you're like, you know what, I do want to get better at discerning God's voice in my life. This is meant to be a regular part of my life. I want to get better at this. Here are three simple ways that you can do that. And these, you could do anything, like if the Lord gives you another idea, run with it. But these are three simple things that can help. One is maybe write down, have a journal or a little notepad or use your phone, and just write down any time this week that you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Just any time. And it can be simple. Like we did this in Bible school. This is part of how they trained us to start recognizing and looking for God's voice. And it was interesting. A lot of the students, they would read out what they felt like God had spoken. They'd read their little diary entries. And some of them was like, don't eat two desserts, just one. Make sure you go to bed. Don't hit snooze. I mean, it was like a lot of really practical stuff. And I was like, well, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. And so it can be very simple things, but all those things produce life in your body. You know, all those things produce life. And so write them down. It could be something mind-blowing. It could be something simple. So write down any time you feel like the Lord is speaking to you, and then go back and look over it and remember those moments and try to take note of what did it feel like? Was it a thought that just kind of came out of nowhere? Was it a picture I got? Was it just an impression that I had? Was it a feeling I had when I was around somebody? And just start to take mental notes. That way through exercising, you can develop the discernment of hearing his voice. It's a really simple way to do it. Another one is prayer, kind of like I shared my story, getting into prayer and asking the Lord to speak to you. Like, God, give me a word for somebody. And I've done this with my kids. Shiloh one time busted in on my quiet time. I was so annoyed. I swear, I could be having time with Jesus and my kids bust in and I become very ungodly very fast. And I'm like, Jenna Lee, you're with Jesus right now. Chill out. And so Shiloh comes in on my quiet time and I was like, I wanted to be annoyed, you know? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I think my door was locked or something. And he was like sticking his fingers under the door. Mom. I know. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, Jenna Lee, you don't make disciples when they're on the other side of the door. I know, that spanked me. And so I said, okay, Lord. So I got up and I opened the door and I invited Shiloh into my quiet time. And Shiloh goes, what are you doing? And I said, baby, I'm trying to sit quietly and hear the Lord's voice. And he was like, oh. And I said, you want to join me? He goes, yeah. And so he sits in my lap. And so I just kind of talked it through real quickly. And I was like, here's what we do. We're going to stop and we're just going to listen and get quiet. Just picture the Lord in your mind and listen and say, Lord, speak to me. And I said, he might give you a Bible verse address. He might say a phrase. He might give you a picture. Just if you feel like anything comes, then just let me know and we'll write it down. And so sure enough, he was like a machine gun. He was like, okay, I got this one. Okay, I got this one. Okay, I got this one. And I was like, dang, I can't keep up, kid. And sure enough, he gave me like a string of passages. And so we went and looked them all up, and there was like this thread that wove through all of them. It was really beautiful. But after that, I noticed Shiloh, bless, he went shortly after that, Pastor Sam was here, and he goes up to Pastor Sam and he goes, guess what? I'm a prophet. So you can teach your kids how to hear God's voice too. But I say all that to say, it can be simple. It's meant to be simple. The kingdom of God is for children, right? He asks us to be like the children. And so when you're in prayer, it is meant to be simple. You can hear God's voice in 2 minutes. You just get quiet on the drive to work. Maybe make it a new discipline. Just ask the Lord for an idea on the drive to work. God, give me a word of encouragement for somebody. You don't even have to tell them the Lord said it. If it's from the Lord, it will produce life in them. It'll confirm. They will feel it. So the third one is to test yourself in small settings. This gets kind of fun. So I've heard some people will, maybe when you're sitting down and you have a waitress or you encounter someone new, in your heart, ask the Lord about them, right? Like maybe, what's her name? Or is there anything about her you want me to speak to? You know, or you just ask the Lord for some insight. Don't feel bad if you miss it. I have missed it a lot doing it this way. This way does not work for me, but it works for some people. And so ask the Lord about something. And I have also gotten some words that really encouraged people. And it could be something like, hey, do you have a kid? Like maybe you feel like the Lord showed you something about a child who's sick and she needs some money or blah, 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 whatever. And you can just kind of lightly kind of test the waters. Be like, hey, do you have any kids? Yeah, I do. Oh, you have a son? Yeah, I do, actually. In fact, there was one guy, and I'll end with this story. There was a guy when I was in California. I was reading Sean Bowles' book, God's Secrets, I think. And it's about getting words of knowledge. And so I was sitting there by my sister's pool on vacation, and this gentleman came and sat in one of the other chairs. Well, shortly after he sat down, I felt like the Lord started downloading all this information about him. Like, I was just getting it pretty quick, and I was like, how do you start this conversation? And so we were watching a squirrel run around, and so, you know, kind of broke the ice with that. And then I felt like the Lord showed me that he was a musician, and that he had used to use his gift in church, but that he'd gotten away from church and that he'd kind of gotten hurt and kind of given up on his dream of writing music, but that the Lord was asking him to step back into church and the Lord would begin to give him music again. And so I get this whole download, and then I look at him, and so I begin to test the waters, right? I had no idea if this was accurate word that I'm getting. And so I begin to test the waters, and I said, hey, are you a musician? And he looks at me, he was like, yeah, how did you know that? I'm like, most people are musicians somewhere, somehow in their life. That wasn't very hard, you know? But he was very receptive. And so I just kind of began to, like, take another piece of that word and kind of feel it out there. And after I got a couple of little confirmations, I just kind of went for it. And I said, can I share something with you? I said, I feel like, you know, sometimes God speaks to me. I'm a Christian, and sometimes God speaks to me. And I felt like when you sat down, he started sharing his heart with me for you. And can I share that with you? And he was like, yeah, please. And so I shared this with him, and he was sitting there, and he was like, my mind is blown. Like, so funny. He was freaking out. And I was like, well, be encouraged, you know? And I just kind of went along my way. I was like, I don't know what else to do with that. So go back to church, you know? And so all that to say, you can learn to hear God's voice by testing yourself in little ways, but keep it low pressure. Keep it in a way that doesn't throw God under the bus and doesn't make you feel really uncomfortable. You know, just throw little feelers out there.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and he wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.